When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, I'm adjusting my webcam when the episode starts. So if you're watching the video, sorry it started so abruptly. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. It's fine. We like to make this show as carefree as possible. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon, and welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. One of the things that we like to do on this show
is it cold is, there, Brandon?
It's just play it nice and loose. Play it by the edge of our pants, so to speak. And so this is the last episode we're going to do from a hotel room.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. In celebration of that, I'm wearing a hoodie. Which is why Travis asked if I'm cold. I'm not. I started off as a joke because I wanted you to be like, why are you wearing a hoodie? But then I was like, there's bleed from my headphones to the microphone when we're recording. And so I was like, you know, I wonder if there's any chance that this hoodie that I'm wearing over my headphones will actually stop some of the sound from bleeding over into your track. So say something, Travis. Say something funny.
That's total and utter malarkey, Brandon. You're so full of crap right now.
No, it's
not from your. You're not trying to prevent headphone sound bleeding.
No. This is part of it is part of it that is absolutely true because I do a lot, but it's at this point in time it's automated. I do post processing, which. Gets rid of a lot of that sound bleed over from because when you talk, sometimes when you're being very loud, very obnoxious,
which is all the time.
Yeah,
la-da-doo.
your sound from my headphones goes into the microphone and then I hear it and I'm like, ah, dang it. And so when I asked,
when was the last time you had like a hearing test?
Just what?
Turn your volume down maybe a little bit.
What?
What?
Anyway, Travis, lead us through the housekeeping.
What? All right, let me cough into the microphone real quick. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. If you want to follow us, if you're new here, go on the internet. Go to Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. You can send us an email, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. We are on Instagram at apathetic_enthusiasm, and you can find us on the web. apatheticenthusiasm.com is our website. Head over to YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get video versions of all of our podcasts. And if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big shout out to all the patrons. Go watch last week's post show. It's like an extra whole episode. I think we did a half hour post show last time.
Yeah.
That I finally managed to upload on hotel internet. So I can't express to you, Brandon, how excited I am to finish a podcast next week. And as soon as we're done, I just hit upload and like it's 3 seconds later, the audio is with you. I'm
excited about that too, man.
Sure, I want to see my family. Sure, I'm excited to sleep in my own bed. But the Wi-Fi, Brandon. The Wi-Fi.
No, I can't blame you for choosing that over the sanctity of your family's well-being.
They're fine. They're fine. They say they miss me. I think I believe them. Yeah. Yeah, no, they do. They do. I'm excited to be home. I'm excited. This class has been good. I've had some fun while I've been out here. I mean, I've had some fun. Let's not get too excited. But yeah, just a couple of assignments.
Wait a minute.
Is that a coffee stir?
It is a coffee stir.
You're waving at me.
I was mixing a drink. This is how I stop you. This is how I stop Travis from now on from talking. I swirl my stir around up instead of into a coffee cup. It's like a baton, I'm a conductor of Travis. All right. So Travis, this last weekend you did something that, you know, I don't know the last time you did this without me, which is, evidently you had a few drinks. You weren't S-faced, but
no, like, I was feeling the feels. Sure.
Did you get the spins? Did you get to the spin cycle?
No.
Oh, okay. No. That's good.
I would definitely not operate heavy machinery. I felt as though if I had had another drink at the point where I was, I might start feeling unwell.
Okay. All right.
And I will say this. I will say this as a human being, as a 40-year-old male, clocking in at close to 200 pounds. Sometimes a little above, sometimes a little below. It all depends on my diet and exercise. Maybe my posture. I can tend to handle my alcohol pretty well. Mm-hmm. One drink, two drinks. I can feel like a buzz or things like that, but typically it doesn't affect me too much, especially if I've been eating. If I'm like eating a meal or something,
like raw, yeah,
not a big deal.
Or
yeah, especially if I'm just chewing on uncooked pasta. but.
Uncooked pasta for my friend here.
some of the folks that I was here with in class, we were celebrating an event, and I'm being intentionally discreet. Also, apparently Zoom thinks I'm giving a thumbs up because it's doing like things. It's doing animations. But so somebody's like, hey, I got a bunch of drinks, come out, let's celebrate. And I went out there having not eaten dinner yet. So I was like, well, I'll just go have a beer. I'll have like a couple beers and then figure out something to eat for dinner. As soon as I got out there, someone's like, hey, here's a shot. Like, here's some. Brandon has a question, apparently. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just trying to get the hand gestures to work as you're telling your story, which I'm enthralled by. No, keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, you're listening to intently. So here I'm drinking like a double Maker's Mark with ginger ale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's delicious. It's refreshing. And I will feel very little emotionally or physically by the end of it. But I've eaten a meal. It's like one drink, and but I had like four-ish drinks in the span of maybe like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
With no dinner. And I was like, whoo, I need to go consume food now. And so that's when I messaged you and said, hey, look at me. I finally left my hotel room and went and got S-faced with my classmates.
Were you that was Friday?
Thursday.
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 What was I doing Thursday? Yeah. S-faced. I don't remember.
Celebrating Croatian statehood day, perhaps.
Mayhaps. I honestly don't remember what I was doing that Thursday. That whiskey and ginger ale, ginger beer, you know, it's one of those combinations. It's one of those combinations. I didn't think that I was going to be like, yeah, that's going to be something I want to take. I like Moscow mules, you know, yeah, like those are pretty good, you know. I know you're about to show something, Travis. So why don't you go show that? And I want to tell a story about this drink.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you did tell a story about this drink last week. Just in case you're not,
I know,
repeating stories,
but I'm telling it again.
This is not product placement. This is not an ad. But when you said ginger ale, I went looking, and yeah, I could have grabbed Canada Dry, a staple. But I saw these premium mixers, the Q mixers, and the little cans. Mm-hmm. You can find these in many, liquor aisles. And this was their premium ginger beer, spicy and robust. Mm. But it's just a 7.5 ounce can, perfect for whipping up your favorite little improvised cocktail. But this stuff's legit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got some spice to it.
Yeah, it's robust.
It's spicy and robust.
Yeah.
All right. What were you going to say? Tell me a story.
So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, yeah. All right. So, real quick refresher.
This is the guy that muddles cuties into his vodka.
Hey, do what you got to do. That's what I always say. So I've always said it. Okay. So the refresher is, last week I kept seeing the ads for the It's Always Sunny whiskey, the American rye and Irish whiskey, Four Walls. So it's not It's an Always Sunny whiskey. It's actually Rob McElhenney, Charlie Day, and Glenn Howerton. They came together. They made this company, Four Walls whiskey, right? And so,
not a sponsor yet, guys. Yet, hit us up.
You guys definitely need sponsors.
You
right?
really need us to help push your brand.
So I ordered some. It got delivered to my house. Maybe that's what I was doing while you were getting S face. Is I was enjoying some Four Walls, I gotta say, it's good. I finished the bottle this weekend. It was good, and it's like. I had a bottle of Johnny Walker Black, and like, even that I have to like put like a little thing of ice in it, right? Like, well, maybe ice cube, two ice cubes, right? I don't do it like purely neat. This Four Walls, I did it just neat. I'm like, it was solid in that way. And I don't usually do it like that. So, but the whole ginger ale, ginger beer, whiskey thing, that was an advertisement I saw on Facebook for this Four Walls. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And the first time I tried it, which was like, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, I'm like, this is really good. This is surprisingly really good. Wow.
So you're saying there's another reason ginger ale exists other than people that get sick on airplanes?
They get sick on airplanes because of the alcohol, and the ginger ale helps them out. I think. I don't. Interesting. That's what I always say.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's delicious. I enjoy a whiskey cocktail. I thought I was just like old fashions, like classic. It's good. You get some bitters, get some sweetness in there. But I started making whiskey sours for a while. Mm. And I really enjoy those. But I like making them with like fresh lemon and my own like sweetener and stuff, simple syrups. I feel less interested just buying a cheap bottle of like sweet and sour like mix. Mm-hmm. Like in the liquor store and be like, it's gonna get fancy tonight, we're gonna mix this up, right? Like,
yeah,
at that point I'd rather just drink it with ice or
There's a lot of truth to that, because you know, I see the sweet and sour mixer and stuff like that, and I'm like, no, it's gonna be too, it's like putting Splenda in your cookies, right? And I was like, I mean, it does make it sweet, but it makes it sweet in a different way than like your homemade simple syrup would be, or your oranges from the backyard grown fresh on your orange tree come out, yeah, right?
Muddled into your glass.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's like
getting a margarita where they use margarita mix versus if you like cut up limes mm-hmm. and like make it fresh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's you can taste the difference. From, it's a difference from the, you can taste.
From the fresh limes that are grown straight from my lime tree in the backyard. Yeah. The way
you should bring some of those down to San Diego when we meet up.
No, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, when I grow a lime tree, I'm not saying I have one. Nor am I saying that I have an avocado tree with so many deliciously fresh avocados. I'm not saying I have any of those. I'm also not saying that I'm growing a bunch of like probably about 21 separate green chili plants. I'm not saying I'm doing any of that. But if I were, you can't have shit.
Okay. All right.
Just kidding. Good just stuff. Kidding. Just I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can have it all, Travis.
Good. Well, so you got you we've established that we both had plenty to drink this week.
Oh yeah. Well, no, we didn't establish it all entirely. Because guess what? My brother came down from Washington.
Now I understand why the bottle's gone.
my brother Tim, older brother, came down from Washington this weekend. And Saturday we partied it up. We went to the cemetery. And then Sunday we partied up some more. Went to my grandma's 90th birthday party in Beaumont, California. And So Saturday night everyone came to my house and like we hung out by the fire, made some s'mores, played some rock band. It's been a while doing that. It was fun. It was fun. It was good seeing my brothers. And it's just great fun, Travis, great. All around.
Just great. It's good. It's good to see family. It's good to see friends.
And do you know what? Do you know what we did? Also, do you know what we did at the right around the fire? We tested out my gummy bear vodka,
which you have brought to the desk.
Which I brought to the desk for, so you can see it. Oh, look at that!
Is it just giant gummy in vodka infused gummy bears now? Is there a liquid in there?
there is some liquid. Yeah, you can barely see it, but it's in there. It's like when you have like a pickle jar or whatever, and like you take some of the pickles out, but then like you're like there's more pickles in there. There's juice in there. Or no.
Yeah. Maybe so all do it. You eat the gummy bears or are you just sipping that candy wine?
Oh man. Oh. It's so sweet. You need to mix this. Now these gummy bears, right? They're so slimy and they maintain shape. Oh god, it's falling apart. Now when you eat one of these, it starts sweet and then immediately goes like there's a lot of vodka in this fucking bear. so I had a few of these Saturday night. Or I'll save some for when you're out.
Oh geez, I don't believe they will maintain that consistency.
They'll be like that. I'll put some more vodka in there that maybe they'll even out some of the sweetness.
Yeah, that should solve it. More.
They're like Jell-O shots, but we're like Jell-O shots. The thing about Jell-O shots is I never taste the alcohol in them. And I'm like, nah, I don't.
That's kind of the point. I think.
I don't like that.
Children. It's for children.
Anyway, so that's what we did. I also tested out the cherry and the strawberry and then the peach vodka. I had to add sugar to the cherry one because it wasn't cherry, like it wasn't sweet enough. And I'm not trying to make it super sweet, just like maybe like a lump or two of sugar. Same thing with the strawberry, just to give it a little bit of sweetness. The peaches were fine. I didn't have to do anything to those.
So your intent is for this to be able to be consumed straight, not as like a mix or as part of like a cocktail.
No, not necessarily. The cherries were. It needs a little bit of sweetness, even if you're going to mix it. No, we did sure. Chelsea made like a cherry vodka cranberry drink, and it was pretty good. But it was my brother's cranberry juice that he bought, and it was like the low sugar one. I'm like, come on, I need sugar. Make me diabetic. Come on. What happened? Oh no. What happened? Travis, are you okay?
I'm going to say this for the audio listener. I don't think there's going to be a video this week.
Oh no.
I'm looking at the video and we're just frozen. It's still recording, but our faces aren't moving.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
That's fine. Well, put it on YouTube. Someone will tell us what to do.
Nah, we just won't. Audio only podcast this week. Go to YouTube and watch our older videos. and then when you're online, you can go check out, I don't know, all the other streaming services like Disney Plus, which you were actually watching this week.
Yeah.
And recommended something to me instead of 98% of our other interactions where I am recommending something from Disney Plus to you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so the thing is you recommend things to me and I say, why are you recommending
that? I'm not going to watch that.
You know I'm not interested in.
You know I'm not going to watch that.
In what you're interested in, Travis. That's not what this show's about. No. So
it used to be 8 years ago.
So maybe like 2 weeks ago, I saw a trailer for a new documentary that was coming out, and the trailer is directed by Ron Howard, documentary about Jim Henson called Idea Man, and I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have emotions here, and then I sent it to you and be like, yeah, check this out. And we're like, yeah, I'm there to watch it. And so Thursday, I think it came out on Wednesday or Thursday. Chelsea, the kid and I started watching it on Thursday. But then I had to go pick up my brother from the airport. It was Thursday or Friday. I don't know. It was one of those days. And so that's I didn't finish it. I only got like halfway through it. And I wanted to, like three quarters of the way. I had 30 minutes left. Want to finish it up still, but it's just, you know, like it makes you sad. Like this, like Henson was like my first celebrity that, because he died what, 87, 88, 89.
I think it was in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I think
fairly young for us. And that was like the first celebrity. I'm like, oh no, like I'll never have a chance to meet this guy. And I love the Muppets, you know, I love everything he stood for and like the Sesame Street and all that. And so when the Muppets movie came out, the Muppets in the 2000s, you know, of course I was there day one to watch that in a theater, and like Rainbow Connection comes on, like tears. And then when they're doing the opening number of the Muppet Show, it's like, oh, my feels. So many feels.
Yeah, I think Jim Henson, my appreciation for Jim Henson is pretty close up there with my appreciation for Walt Disney in terms of being a creative person who challenged the entertainment industry like norms and continued to push the envelope on what was possible, what you know, what the standard of excellence could be. And I think, like, obviously Walt Disney died two decades before I was born, so there's no chance I'm meeting this guy, right? But yeah, like in the same way that Walt Disney was inventing technologies to make feature animation possible, inventing the concept that we now like know of as like the modern theme parks and things like this. Like Jim Henson took a craft that has been around for like since humanity's been around in puppetry, and pushed the envelope, brought it into the mainstream, marketed it for television, and really has been, I mean, you mentioned Sesame Street, like that was our children's television. That was our Yo Gabba Gabba. That was our Bluey. And like, I didn't appreciate the fact that it was experimental film at the time when I was a kid. That was just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That stuck in my head. I've had that stuck in my head for last couple of days because of that.
But like, it's so awesome that he took the risks, like fought for the things that he believed in, to create something that now people just like the Muppets, Sesame Street characters, like that kind of like puppetry and stuff like is so much more commonplace now. It has had a ripple effect in both like the special effects industry through the 90s and into the 2000s, which then obviously like he had his hand in CG towards the end of his life. And so it's just really interesting to think about all of those things. And then where my heart breaks is knowing how relatively young he was when he died, and like how much more might we have seen, how much more would he have pushed that envelope had he been around to this day?
He was like mid-50s.
So he was born in 1936, died in 1990, so he would have been just about 54.
Muppet Babies, the Muppet Show. I love, you know, the thing that I loved about some of that documentary is like talking about like the music influence, because like there's a lot of music from Sesame Street and the Muppet Show that like just like completely stick out to me. Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce, like I the reason I know that song is from the Muppet Show. Like Crocodile Rock is fun. And Never Smile at a Crocodile, speaking of crocodile songs. And then, you know, like obviously the Muppet Show theme, Rainbow Connection, just a lot of that. It's just so cool. And then like Moving Right Along, Chug-a-Lug from the Muppet movie.
It's interesting because the other thing with the Muppets is they do seem to have gone through like peaks and valleys in terms of their success, right? And they're always going to have the diehards that love everything that they do, but it almost feels like so much that the Muppets have done, or that Jim Henson did, really was so forward thinking or so like off from what the norm was, that it's taken years, sometimes decades, for people to appreciate the work that he's done with some of the, like, I mean, obviously the Muppet Show was kind of an immediate success once he could finally get somebody to buy the show and actually allow him to make episodes
in Europe.
But when you think about when you think about work with like
Dark Crystal
or Labyrinth, like people did not appreciate that, because it's like, this isn't Kermit. Where's Miss Piggy? This is, I don't think I like this. But now people look back at those movies fondly. They've become classics.
Yeah,
they've spawned like not remakes, but like sequels and new series and things like that. So I don't know. It's just really interesting. The thought
of Idea Man, right? Like the idea of the Idea Man. You know, we've talked about it, not with this one so much, but the Rick and Morty podcast is like, just wanting to challenge ourselves. And like the thing with him was like, he didn't really want to get pigeonholed doing any one thing. Like he just was always thinking about like the next thing, like what, cool, I did this, what's next? Like, I want to do something else now, right? Like, so then moving on to Dark Crystal and pushing those boundaries. Sometimes those ideas are faster than what is accepted at the time, or not, you know, accepted, but you know, like it's not popular until later. Like, oh shoot, Blade Runner is a great movie. Did you know that? No, it was a box office bomb. Same thing with The Thing, yeah. Right? Like it was a box office bomb. But Rob Bottin, who did the special effects for The Thing, like John Carpenter, now people are like, that's a masterclass in practical effects. But at the time, everyone's like, this movie sucked. What the hell? You know? So this actually leads into the other documentary that I watched half of, which was, so over on Disney Plus, there was the Beatles documentary. It was like a couple episode series, which I never watched because, I mean, I like the Beatles all right, but I wasn't interested in like watching them bitch and moan at each other for a couple hours, right? But I did see this other documentary for the Beach Boys that came to Disney Plus as well. So I thought that was going to be a Beatles-esque documentary where it's like multi-episode. The reason I watched half of this one was because it was halfway through that I was like, oh no, this is it. This is the only documentary. So I paused it so I could watch it with Chelsea if she was interested. But it is also good. So the Beach Boys are interesting to me because they're one of those bands that I heard when I was young and I was like, surf music, ooh, whoop-a-dee-doo, right? Because they're like, and I maybe like on Full House when Uncle, what's his face, hung out with the Beach Boys.
Uncle Jesse is obsessed with the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you. You know, like, I was like, oh, that's what the Beach Boys are about, right? Like, let's go surfing, you know. But then I think the first time I was interested in anything other than that surf stuff was I was in a bar in Korea, and like there's like a wall decorated with like a bunch of classic albums, and I saw Pet Sounds on there, and people were like, oh man, Pet Sounds is such an amazing album. I'm like, huh? Okay. Okay. And I saw a different movie with Paul Dano where he played Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. And it was kind of like a biopic. And I was like, oh shoot. Okay. No, there's talent there. Wall of Sound, Phil Spector, The Wrecking Crew, those types of things. And from that point in time, I'm like, okay, all right. It wasn't just about all that early stuff. It's about like what came after it and how revolutionary that period was of their music. At the same time, the Beatles stuff was happening. That's when I'm like, and it's the, you know, not to get patriotic here, but it's also the American version of like the creativity things that were going on.
Yeah.
So I was, when I saw the Beatles doc, the Beach Boys documentary coming out, I was like, I want to watch that. And that's also pretty good. I want to finish that up, but I do recommend that if you are into music at all, because Brian Wilson, you know, I think he's going through, I mean, he's on the downhill spiral at this point in time, but like he was also a genius during that period of time. So recommend. Brandon says, check it out.
Well, two fantastic documentaries worth checking out on Disney Plus. Use the promo code AEPOD when you sign up for Disney Plus. You'll get nothing off, but I mean, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just type it in.
And then send them an email and say, Brandon and Travis need some money, Disney. Come on, we know you got some.
Give them some of that Disney money. You guys got enough of it. Speaking of Disney money, and this is a perfect segue. This is another Lorcana Corner, your Lorcana update for this episode. There is an online platform, right? So I typically play Lorcana with my son. I play in the local game shop. But for those people that do not either have people in their house to play the game with or do not live by a local game store where there's a regular event happening, there was an application, a game called Pixelborn that people use to play online, right? We've talked about it before. I've tried numerous times to get you to download this application so I could try to play with you.
Which I did. I downloaded it, but it doesn't matter anymore, Travis.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter anymore because this Pixelborn was not an official product that was sanctioned by Ravensburger, the company, the game company that makes the playing cards, or the big IP giant that is Disney. And so it's really interesting when you downloaded the game, it didn't actually have the cards in the game. You had to download the game and then you would go find the resources for the card images elsewhere. Sometimes from the same website that you downloaded the game client for. Incidentally. But they were not in the game itself. And so then you would download these images and then load them into the game yourself. And then you could play Lorcana online. It was for being just a handful of developers, it was a really, really impressive piece of software. Like, it had a ladder system. It had ranked matches. You could build decks in there. You could all of the different and sort of intricate rules of the game worked really well. And anyway, so the developer of this app posted recently, just this last week on the Discord, that Disney has sent him a letter asking him to take down his game because he does not have authorization to utilize the IP.
DMCA.
In his response on Discord, he said that if he was ever approached by Disney and asked to take it down, he would do so. And that he was not going to try and, you know, get into technicalities or things and try to work around some sort of legal situation with this, which I commend him for, because if there are any lawyers you don't want to mess with, I think they're Disney lawyers. There. Yeah. And so this is the game will be taken down no later than I think the 14th of this month. So there's only a couple weeks left of it. And huge outcrying in the Lorcana community, because a lot of people use that to play with friends long distance. But the category of individuals that this is really going to affect are content creators. So people that produce YouTube videos, produce gameplay content for online streamers, things like that. Many of these individuals were in Atlanta for the first Lorcana challenge. I met with a few of them, and yeah, this kind of impacts their entire revenue stream for how they make their content. And I'm really curious what it means for the future of promotion for the game, because I know both me and my son, when we're looking up strategies, looking up, you know, different deck ideas, seeing that Pixelborn content is often what people use to kind of share their ideas. And so hopefully this also indicates that Disney is going to have an official version of some sort of game coming at some point. I doubt it will be free. I'm sure there will be in-app purchases. That said, I'm thankful that the game was around long enough for me to finish this trip and still be able to play with my son throughout the entirety of this trip.
Well, I think, you know, I empathize with like the content creators that relied on this type of stuff for their revenue stream. But there's also a part of me that's like, well, you knew it was a pirated version of this game the entire time. So like, you know, like
And that's what their response is every time, is like, yeah, we all knew this was going to happen eventually. It's like, oh, all right, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, like, you know, it sucks, but that's even like with the Rick and Morty podcast, like we were very, very careful very early on to be like unofficial. It's in our title. We say that for everything. We're unofficial. Right. So as to not ever be confused with any kind of official Adult Swim type thing, because we didn't want Adult Swim coming after us. And even then, we still got some DMCA takedown notices over the years, right?
Yeah. Yes, we have.
But I will say is, I know, like, for like League of Legends, right? There are sites that are dedicated to the meta of the game. Although I haven't sought them out, I'm sure Magic the Gathering also has a bunch of sites that are dedicated to the meta of the game. And so it's not that the game, I think what it boils down to is Pixelborn was the game. And it was, you were playing the game. It is the game.
For a lot of people, it was the game.
Yeah.
Like there's many people that do not play the game in paper, as they say. They do not own the cards. If they're gonna go to one of these tournaments, they like order these specific cards for a deck that they've already been playing in Pixelborn, and have just those single cards shipped to them, so that they can go and take that deck and play it in person tournament.
And that's a different thing than studying the mechanics, the meta, like the, you know, people commenting on things like message boards. That's a completely different thing, because you're not copying the game at that point in time. You're having a discussion about it, and you can explore that. Like that's
sure. Absolutely.
You know, that's within fair use. So I'm positive that other sites will pop up that start talking about those aspects of it. Like, your Mickey conductor card synergizes really well with your, llama from Emperor's New Groove. Right.
Kuzco, yeah, really well. So Kuzco, that's a sapphire card. Amethyst.
You already messed up. So
two cost. One, two. Yeah, when he's banished in a challenge, you get to draw a card. So that's as a llama. There's also, you know, non llama Kuzco.
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
What character in Lorcana? Who's not in Lorcana do you want to see?
I agree with a number of fans that we need a Mushu card. Mushu the dragon from the movie Mulan. There is no Mushu card. There are numerous Mulan cards. There are now cards for Mulan's mom and dad. There's numerous Li Shang cards, the instructor that teaches her. The three guys that like make fun of Mulan when they think that she's like a dude, they all have cards. Mulan's horse has a card.
oh my God.
Mushu, the closest we've gotten is in this fourth set, there is an item card called the Great Stone Dragon, and it's a stone dragon that is like almost Mushu but not, and I almost like wonder if it's like a game that the developers are playing with the audience now, where they're like, oh, this is a character you really want. Well, what if we get really close and don't actually make the card?
That's crazy to me that they have like side characters with like, nope, her primary sidekick, don't have her, don't have Eddie Murphy's character.
Cricky, the cricket, the lucky cricket, featured on a card this most recent set.
Is that
no Mushu.
Is that the most glaring omission from the game? Like comparatively, right? Like, compared to the other characters.
I don't know. It is really interesting, because the game, I look at it sort of objectively, especially from doing so much podcasting and being so sort of cognizant of legal agreements and licensing agreements and those sorts of things, where like, I understand that this is Disney Lorcana made by Ravensburger, and the company behind this game is Ravensburger. The company putting on these challenge events, making these cards, like doing the work is Ravensburger. They are licensing an IP from Disney. Now, is Disney involved more than just, hey, you can license our characters? I think so, because They sell the cards at Disney parks. I don't know exactly what the partnership is, but I get the impression that there was a handful of movies and different intellectual properties that they agreed to initially, mm-hmm. where yes, you can make characters for your cards from these movies. And there's a lot of movies that aren't represented at all.
Bed knobs and broomsticks.
No bed knobs and broomsticks yet. Nope. No, definitely not. I was thinking for a second. I was like, is there?
Sword in the Stone?
Sword in the Stone, heavily featured.
Okay. Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, yes. Book, many princesses. Jungle Book's in there.
Right. Song of the South.
The Great Mouse. The Great Mouse Detective is like heavily featured.
Really?
There's like a bunch of like... really obscure Disney movies get a lot of play, like Treasure Planet, the Atlantis movie has a bunch of cards.
Oh yeah,
there's cards based on like Disney afternoon TV, like Tailspin.
Ooh, nice.
Has a bunch of cards.
Darkwing Duck.
So DuckTales, yes.
Which
Darkwing Duck, not yet.
Because Gizmo Duck is part of DuckTales, so and Launchpad. And
Gizmo Suit is an item card that gives your character, I think, like one resist for a turn or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah. There's anyway. Bonkers? Yes, is there
is there a Bonkers card?
Bonk? No, no, there have not been any Bonkers cards that I've seen. So,
well, that's too bad. That's my favorite Disney IP.
As soon as I see a Bonkers card, I'm all in. But then, like more modern stuff, like the movie Encanto, which is only a few years old, but still very, very popular. I would say a majority of this recent release featured characters from that movie. So and other concepts from the movie, yeah. And stuff like that. It's interesting how they pick. I don't know exactly how they pick and choose what to make cards of.
Do they shy away from the all the Pixar stuff?
No Pixar so far.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Let's see. Any Shrek? Are there any Shrek cards? Sorry.
Well, everybody, that's our show.
I'm really looking forward to the Gru and all his minions.
Yes, can't wait for the minion set. So there
Cloudy
is
with a chance of meatballs.
I've talked about this before. 101 Dalmatians is a set. There's cards from 101 Dalmatians. There is a Dalmatian puppy card. And there's a rule in the game where you can only have four copies of a specific card, any card in your deck. You're limited to four copies of that card. But for the Dalmatian puppy card, you can have up to 99 copies of the Dalmatian puppy card. And there's like, it's the same card with the same stats, but there's five versions of it. And it's five like alternate different art of the puppy, like sitting in different positions or something like that. Right. I think it would be hilarious if you did have a Minions version with just like hundreds of minions in a deck.
Is that Dalmatian's deck even viable?
Oh, I don't think so. Probably not. Now there are cards that give you a benefit if you can guess what the card at the top of your deck is, right? There's a card called the Sorcerer's Hat, and if you exert it and say the name of a card and then flip over the top of your deck, if that card is what you named, you can put it into play for free. So if you had 99 Dalmatian puppies in there, statistically speaking, you have a very good odd of being able to flood your board with lots of little puppies.
So. Instant win.
Yep.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. You know, we've talked about Lorcana on this podcast a lot.
We're getting close to being a Lorcana podcast, and I'm okay with it. I know you're not along for it,
I'm not. But we will play it when you come down.
We talk about the things we're interested in, and frankly, it consumes a lot of my time, right?
I reinforced my drum platform here in the room. So I'm doing that. I finished my 30 days of drumming. Got really complicated at the end. And honestly, like I feel much more it's strange, like loose and free having done this limb independence thing. It's pretty cool. I will never say I'm good at drums, but like I can see how I could be good with doing things like this more often. I do want to give a shout out to a few people before we head out. I know we're getting to the top of the hour. We got to move on. We got to do things. But a couple shout outs. One to Mike S. Guerra. Thank you for letting me interview you today and giving you shit, but pretending like you weren't actually somebody I knew. It was very, very fun, especially when you asked me when we're going to talk to you again. And I said, never. And you almost cussed me out, but you didn't because it's an interview and I would look bad on you. And then Sam sent me some messages on Instagram a couple days ago. Right. And a couple voice messages. He didn't text me. He sent me some voice messages. So one, it was nice hearing your voice. Two, I told you everything I wanted to tell you in my response, but you talk about wrestlers' names. They don't go by their real names, right? Because it's like a faux pas. They gotta go by their wrestler names. So I asked about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Is that why he only goes by Dwayne Johnson now? And was it a faux pas for him to go by The Rock for so many years after wrestling when he was an actor? Like, was that frowned upon in the wrestling world? Is that a no-no? Like Hulk Hogan, like, don't call him Hulk Hogan once he's in, don't, you know, My Babysitter's a Monster or whatever movie it was in. Okay. And then the he also talked about like Sexy Goku. I forget the context. Anime convention. But so he shot this to me on like Thursday and I didn't respond to him until today, which is Monday, on my way home from work. And one of those messages was, I was going to send this to you at like 7 a.m, but I didn't want to wake you up because I know you're on the West Coast. And so my response to him, and is there my response to everybody who sends me messages? I can get it at 7 a.m, aka 5 a.m, my time, or like 2 weeks from now, I'll probably still respond to you a couple days after that. Because I'm bad at responding.
Yeah.
Ask my mom.
It's fine. It's funny. I have to do a presentation. It's the last presentation for this class on my strengths and weaknesses in leadership.
Yeah.
And my weakness is going to talk about like
telling Brandon no
management. Oh. No, it's like relationship management.
No. You have no problem.
And specifically like, when like I move away from someplace, how awful I am at maintaining relationships from people that like are not directly in front of me all the time. You being the one glaring exception, Brandon.
You too. you too. I told Chelsea earlier, I have friends out here, friends and family I want to see, want to make plans with, want to go visit. And then the weekend comes and I'm like, oh, man, I'm just so tired. And then I don't think about planning for the next weekend because I'm like, oh, I got to work on Monday. Like whatever's in front of me.
That's the weirdest thing about it too, is it's not because I don't care about these people or want to have a relationship with them. I just don't do it.
That's true. My dad gives me shit because he texts me and I don't respond to his text for like another day and a half. And I'm like, I see your text. It comes in. I see the words that you say to me and I craft a response in my head. And then I'm like, I'm going to respond to this later with these words. And then a couple days later, I'm like, oh, I never actually sent that. I never drafted it. It was only in my head. And then I respond to it. And he's like, oh, hey, good to know I still have a son. You know, that type of stuff.
What gets me is I'll get the text from like my mom while I'm at work. And I'll be like, is she alive? Was she in a horrible car accident? And I'm like, oh, it's her Wordle score. And then I'll be like, oh, I can respond to that later, not when I'm actively doing something in work. But at that point, I've already checked the message.
Yes.
Right? So, like, I check the message because if it's an emergency, I want to make sure I can respond immediately. But then if it's not an emergency, then I'm like, okay, I can write her back. I think that's the exact situation I'm in at the time of this recording. I think she sent me a text earlier today and I have not responded back. So, mom, if you're listening, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm going to check my phone right now.
No joke. I think I have a text drafted to my dad responding to him from earlier that I did not send. It's in there.
Good news, everyone. I responded, LOL.
Woo!
So everything is fine.
With an exclamation point.
No, it was just L.
Oh.
O. L.
L.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was her Wordle score. So it wasn't like, it was no connection score. I'll tell you that.
Why'd you lol at that though? Was it so low that it was?
Because it was all of her. Yeah, it was like on the last line. And then she did a row of like the angry, like cursing face emojis. So yeah. So that's why I LOL.
No, yeah, I just lolled. So no, that's accurate. Anyway, we want to say thank you to everyone for listening to 252 episodes of this show.
Can't believe it.
One and all, you know, you make this a dream come true. Just like Hall & Oates.
And we look forward to next week, when there will be no delays where Brandon has to wait until my internet connection gets my voice to him so that he knows when I'm done talking and he can actually respond.
That's why I have the stir stick. That's why I have the stir stick. I'm doing it. I want to interrupt you.
We will have functional audio and video recordings. Everything. I'll have a fun background again. Everything is going to be back to normal after next week, or for the next episode. So thanks to everyone that's continuing to listen and keeps up with the show. And we will catch you next time.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.